Well, my name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to speak to you today. We're going to continue in our series on the blessed life, and I want to talk to you on the subject, the happy life. You know, blessed means happy, and I want to talk to you about leading a happy life. And so I want to welcome our online audience, the people over in the annex. Come on, let's put our hands together for our campuses joining us today. And so people are searching for happiness, aren't they? We're all searching for happiness. And so, and many people are looking for happiness in the wrong place. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus. A wee little man was he, right? Remember the song? And so maybe you just kind of dismissed that passage as a kid's Bible story, but I'm going to show you there's a lot in this passage that can apply to our life. And so why don't we say a prayer? And let's ask God to be with us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's living and powerful, and our prayer this morning is that we would leave this service changed and closer to you, God. I know that some people here heading into the holidays, they need a word from you, God. They need encouragement. And God, we just pray right now. We open our hearts to receive from you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that you are speaking. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. In our search for happiness, we tend to judge our self-worth and what makes us happy on four things. And the first one is by our appearance, how we look. You know, if we could just lose a little weight, we'd be happy. Come on, somebody. You've already decided you're going to cast off all dieting restraints for this week and pick it up the following week. Amen. And so if we just lose a little weight, we'd be happy. If we just had a different hairstyle, we'd be happy. If we just had some hair, come on, man. If we just had a little bit of hair, we'd be happy. You know, if you know how we looked or what, you know, our appearance. If we had better clothing, we'd be happy. By our achievement, you know, if we accomplished something great, we'd be happy. Maybe we're trying to please someone else. If we could just do this, you know, achieve this, we'd be happy. Graduated from a certain school or achieved a certain position, then we'd be happier. Another way we judge our self-worth is through approval. If we would just be popular, if we could be popular, if we had enough friends, if we had certain friends, then we'd have happiness. And the last way is by our affluence, what we own. If I just lived in this house or had this car or lived in this neighborhood, then I'd be happy. By our appearance, our achievement, our approval, our affluence. We think if we can get these things lined up, then we'll be happy. But the problem is, all of these standards can change. None of them are stable. And so our appearance, it can change. In fact, our appearance will change. We can't defy the laws of gravity forever, can we? And so our successes are fleeting. They can be surpassed by others. We all want to be liked. But we know as we grow, we can't please everybody. Not everybody's going to like us. And we know our personal wealth can come and go. And so in our search for happiness, if it's based on all these external factors, they can and they will change. And there's only one thing that won't change. And that's what God thinks of us. That's God and His Word. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so true happiness is only found in worshiping and loving God and loving and serving others. We're going to find that in this little story of Zacchaeus. So let's read about Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. And there was a man named there, Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was wealthy. It says, he wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but he was too short to see above the crowd. He ran ahead to the place where Jesus would come, and he climbed a sycamore tree so he could see him. And so Zacchaeus, he just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And when we look deeper into this passage, we know that Zacchaeus must have had some issues. In these four ways that we evaluate our happiness and our worth, Zacchaeus, he struck out on all of them on the first three except the last one. He was wealthy. He was very affluent, but that's about all he had going for him. And so Zacchaeus probably didn't like his appearance. The Bible tells us he was short. In fact, he was shorter than everybody else. Tradition tells us that Zacchaeus was the shortest man in all of Jericho. In fact, the Greek word for short of stature, it means the body of an undeveloped child. So Zacchaeus was actually a little person. You ever see that show? I used to be on TV a couple of years ago, I guess. It was called Little People, Big World. My wife Ashley used to like to watch that show. It's about little people and their challenges. Zacchaeus was actually a little person. And so I'm sure he grew up with this handicap. How many of you know people will stare at people that are different? People can be ruthless. And so now it starts to put this passage in a little different understanding. Here you see Zacchaeus. And he was short. He was probably made fun of his entire life. Not only that, but we know he was a tax collector. Now let me help you understand what a tax collector was in this culture a little bit more. In this culture, people hated tax collectors. They bribed people. They took money off the top. They took advantage of the poor for their own profit. And for a Jewish person like Zacchaeus to become a Roman tax collector, it was absolutely unthinkable. It was like high treason. You would be ridiculed. You wouldn't just be ridiculed, you'd be hated for being a traitor and being treasonous to your own faith. And so for a Jewish person to become a Roman tax collector, this is what it meant for him. Your own family would disown you. You couldn't worship in the synagogue anymore, and you were in a class of people that would be worse than murderers. So Zacchaeus, he was hated by everybody because he was a tax collector. Not only that, he was the chief tax collector. He was the guy at the top who ran the whole scam. And people didn't like what he looked like, and they didn't like what he did. And you can't have a guilty conscience and truly like yourself. He knew he was ripping people off. And so when we look deeper into this little passage, we see here's a man who people didn't like. He didn't like himself. And we actually see a sad, lonely little guy. But all this is about to change. Why? Because he's fixing to have an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus never leaves people the same. Amen? And so he learns how much he matters to God. And that's what I want to tell you today. I pray you'll leave today encouraged, knowing how much you matter to God. And so you may want to write these down. I'm going to give you three truths that will lead us to a happy life. It's not found in these four ways we judge our self-worth. And if you came in this morning maybe feeling a little low, maybe you feel down on yourself, maybe you feel confused, lonely, unloved, a little out of place, you're in the right place this morning. Because this is a place of hope. This is a place of healing. How many of you know Jesus is the source of all hope? He's the source of all healing. And I'll pray you leave today encouraged. So three truths that lead us to a happy life. Number one is, no matter how insignificant I feel, Jesus notices me. Many times we feel insignificant in life. And Jesus is walking through a great crowd of people. He happens to walk under a tree, and in verse 5 it says, when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up. In a huge crowd, he's looking at Zacchaeus. Did you know God knows exactly where you are today? In a great crowd like this, he knows exactly where you are. And you may have sat through this series and you said, this blessed life is for everybody else but me. Everybody else seems to be participating. Everybody else seems to be blessed, but not me. You may think God has forgotten you. You may feel like he's 1,000 miles away, but he's not. He's got his eyes on you this morning. In fact, there's never been a moment where God has taken his eyes off of you. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He's seen every breath you've ever taken, every thought you've ever had, every word you've ever said, everything you've ever done, good or bad, every hurt you've ever felt, every tear you've ever cried. He knows it all. And He's constantly looked at you. He's constantly looked at me with eyes of love. He notices us. He watches us. Did you know one of the deepest expressions of love is attention? When you love someone, you give them attention. Parents, one of the deepest expressions of love is attention. And so all of us have a deep need to be noticed inside. I've got two little kids. My son, Chris Jr., call him CJ. He's fixing to be 11 this month, and my daughter, Maggie, is 8. And we love going to the pool. We love going to the beach. And whenever we're at the pool or the beach, this is what I hear. I've been hearing this for the last 8 years, I guess. Probably longer than that. Watch me. Watch this. My little kids, they used to love Power Rangers. Remember the Power Rangers? Man, I watched so many Power Ranger videos a few years ago. They would do Power Ranger moves off the side of the pool. Watch this. Watch this. It's all you hear at the pool. I'm just trying to chill out. Watch, Daddy. Watch this, Daddy. And they do moves and jump off the side of the pool into the water. We all have a need to be noticed. Even as adults, we have a need to be noticed. You know, people, they fix up their yards to where their yards are perfect. And they just I want to have the yard of the month deal in my yard. I remember Pastor Stovall and I used to live in the same neighborhood. And we would help each other with our yard sometimes and hang out sometimes on the weekends. And there was this guy who lives across the street from Pastor Stovall. Man, his yard was perfect. I mean, it was one of these yards, it was always immaculate. And he would mow it in a diagonal pattern. He was the envy of the entire neighborhood. He had flowers. He was always out there, man, just manicuring it. So we said, man, that guy's ridiculous. That guy, we started calling him, we said, he's like the yard Nazi. His yard is perfect. I mean, our yards look horrible compared to his. And so my yard started looking good, I got to admit, okay, except it had a couple of little brown, it looked perfect. Man, I can't remember what month it was. I think it was like August. It was perfect. Green. I had the diagonal pattern thing going. Except there was two little brown spots. And it was right in the middle. It was running my whole yard. And Pastor Stovall had them too. I said, we're going to fix these things, man. I said, come on, we're going to Home Depot. And I bought some of this stuff was supposed to fix, some kind of fertilizer. I don't remember. And so I said, we're gonna put these on these brown spots. We're going to have the best yards in the neighborhood. The yard knots, we're going toe-to-toe with the yard knots. He's going down. And so we did. We put it on the brown spots. The only problem was it was like 98 degrees in Jacksonville. And you guys know what happened. Those things grew big. And so we had these huge brown spots in our yard. Pastor Stovall likes to tell the story. He exaggerates a lot worse than it is. I didn't kill his whole yard. But I did make him have some big brown spots for a while. We had to fix it. And so the yard Nazi won after all. But how many of you know we all like to be noticed? We do. And so other people may not pay attention to us in life. The people we want to pay attention to us may not pay attention. But God has never not paid attention to us. He's watching. And Zacchaeus found out, no matter how insignificant he feels in a crowd, Jesus Christ notices us. The second truth we see from this story is that no matter what others say about me, Jesus affirms me. No matter what others say about me, Jesus affirms me. He looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said. He didn't ask his name. He knew his name. God knows your name. He not only knows where you are, he knows who you are. And God, he's not some impersonal force that sits up in heaven and says, look at all these Billions of people on the earth. I think there's 7 billion people. He just didn't, that I just mass produced, and they're just all walking around like ants. He cares about each one of us personally. We're created in his image, and he knows our name. He knows everything about us. You know, the Bible even says our hairs are numbered. He calls Zacchaeus by name. And this is very interesting for a corrupt tax collector, because Zacchaeus means pure one. Pure one? Zacchaeus was anything but pure. He was one of the biggest crooks in Jericho. He was despised by people. And this may have been the first time Zacchaeus had heard his real name in a while. I'm sure they had all kind of names for him when he went through the crowd collecting money. But Jesus called him by name. Remember when God changed Jacob's name to Israel? Jacob means manipulator. It means deceiver. But he called him Israel, which means Prince of God. God sees past our emotional pain. He sees past our mistakes and our shortcomings, and he sees a pure one. He says, Zacchaeus, I've called you to be pure. I've made you to be pure. I didn't make you to be a crook. And God's saying to us, listen, you can take the mask off. You don't have to try to please everyone else. That's not what's going to make you happy. That's not what you're looking for. You're trying to find a blessed life, but it's not found in all these outward things. And he says, I see past you. I've made you in my image. The real you is one who lives for me. The real you is a worshiper. Take the mask off, he says. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't try to please everybody. That's not the real you. He sees, and he sees the inside. He sees past everything else. And so he's lifting up Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. And how many of you know God is on our side? Listen, let me encourage you today. If God is for you, who can be against you? You want, you know, we try to have good theology, and there's different aspects of understanding God and who he is. And certainly there's a side of judgment, and there's a side of conviction of sin, and there's lots of attributes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord in all these different areas. But let me tell you something today. God loves you. He's on your side. If he's for you, who can be against you? You're more than conquerors through him who loves you. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's not against you. He's not trying to make bad things happen. He hasn't forgotten about you. God loves you, and he is on your side. He is the lifter of our head. If he is for us, think about that scripture. If he's for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from his love? Amen. And so many times we feel rejected. We feel left out in life. Someone else got the job that you wanted. You got cut from the team. You didn't fit in with the group. You love someone, but they rejected you. And what I have learned, maybe it's even your own family members, maybe Thanksgiving, Christmas, man, you're like, man, I don't even fit in. I'm lonely. You know, the Bible says God sets the solitary in families. He has a place for you. But maybe you feel rejected. But this is what I've learned about rejection. When you feel rejected, when you feel like you don't fit in, when you're the only one on the earth, like you don't have anyone else you can go to that you can trust, you feel rejected, they didn't accept you. That means God is choosing you for something else. When you feel rejected, God is choosing you for something greater. You can't see it. It hurts. Jesus was rejected by man and sent to the cross. But he was chosen by God for a greater assignment. And you may have felt rejected by people. But let me tell you something. The story's not over. God has chosen you for something greater. He's chosen you for a different assignment. His ways are higher. You may not fit in. It wasn't the plan that you had, but his ways are higher than yours. He sees the end from the beginning. He notices you. He knows you by name, and he has a plan. Amen. God knows. You know, these God's people were in slavery. The Bible says God knows. He sees. He cares. He heard their cry. Isaiah 49:16 says this. God tells the Israelites, he says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49:16. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. It reminds me of when Jesus appeared to Thomas. And Thomas didn't believe. And Jesus said, stick your hand in my side. Stick your fingers in my hands. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. You ever thought about that? Jesus in his glorified body, he had scars in his hands. You ever think about that? Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's got scars in his hands. In his glorified body, when he came back to Thomas, he had scars. What do you think he thinks about when he looks at those scars? He thinks of you. He thinks of me. He loves us, guys. I'm telling you, I'm here to remind you today, God is on your side. He loves us, and he affirms us. He told Zacchaeus, he says, I affirm you, I believe in you. No matter what your family, your friends, your coworkers, anyone says about you, God affirms you. He believes in you. He told Zacchaeus, he called him by name. He says, you're a pure one. And Zacchaeus learned, no matter how insignificant I feel, God notices me in a crowd. He notices me. He knows me. He says, no matter what other people say, Jesus affirms me. He calls me by name. And the third truth that we see in this story is, no matter what I've done, Jesus accepts me. No matter what I've done, Jesus accepts me. He tells Zacchaeus, he says, come down quickly, for I'm going to be a guest in your home today. That's amazing. I mean, I want you to step back and think about this story. Of all the people, he goes to the most notorious sinner, calls him by name, and says, I'm going to come to your house. Of course, all the people say, who is this man who eats with sinners? That's what they always said about Jesus. Listen, there was something about Jesus' life that was attractive to the lost, to the hurting, and the broken. They were attracted to Jesus, and he accepted them. How many of you know that's a good testimony for believers today? That's a good testimony for a church. Jesus didn't repel the people, man. They loved him. They were attracted to him. He came to their house. And so think about Zacchaeus. His appearance made him feel lonely and insecure. His accusers made him feel bitter and resentful at what he did. But it was his own sins. It was his own lifestyle, his own choices that made him feel guilty and ashamed. And Jesus still wanted a relationship with him. He still wanted to come over to his house. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? Aren't you thankful that his mercy's new every morning? And we've all made mistakes. How many of you know Christians make mistakes? How many of you know we make mistakes, man? We mess up. We blow it. We say the wrong thing to our family. We do the wrong thing. We make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, guys. And God still accepts us. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Aren't you thankful for his mercy? And so Zacchaeus, he goes from this sad, lonely guy to the life of the party with Jesus. And you know what that's called? That's called grace. That's called God giving you what you don't deserve. Grace. You can't earn grace, can you? You can't earn grace. You just have to receive it. Come on over, Jesus. I don't deserve this. Look, you need a fresh revelation of grace. You know what grace says? Grace says God loves you. He says you can't earn it. There's nothing you can do. All of your works of righteousness are like filthy rags. There's nothing you can do to earn my love. You'll never be good enough. And I still love you. Grace is free. You just have to receive it. Listen, you know what I found out about grace? Grace is so free, it's so easy, it's too hard for most people to understand. That's why the gospel, it means the too good to be true news. Jesus goes to the cross for our sins, and we just have to receive that free gift by faith? That's too good to be true. I'd rather try to earn it. It's too easy. Listen, you know how you have a revelation of grace and the gospel of Christ? You can't believe it. It's too good. You mean you forgive all of my sins? I don't have to do anything? I just receive it by faith? Man, that's too good to be true. It's too easy. I'd rather earn it. I'd rather try to work my way to God's love. Grace. We don't deserve it. We just have to receive it. Man, the enemy loves guilt. He loves condemnation. Jesus says, man, I accept you just how you are. You don't have to clean. You just come to me just how you are. You say, well, Chris, what about holy living? What about the Ten Commandments? What about the commandments of God? You know what I found out? You get a revelation of grace. You let his love change you from the inside out. You'll start living more holy on accident out of a relationship of love with God than you will trying to obey outward laws. Amen. Amen. And so here we go in the story. How does he respond? How does he respond? He came down at once and received him with joy. Jesus said, yes, I want to know you, Jesus. And the Bible says he was filled with joy. How do we know we've had an encounter with Jesus? How do we know we've had an encounter with him? Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor. He said, if I've cheated anyone, I'll give them back four times the amount. Jesus responded, he said, salvation has come to this household. He was changed. Do you know what I found out? Do you know how you know if you've had an encounter with Jesus? You're changed. I'm telling you, there's a change. You can't have an encounter with Jesus, face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and not have a change in your heart. It brings a change. This is what Zacchaeus said. I got to make things right. I'll give half my possessions to the poor. If I've hurt anybody, I'll restore them back. Man, that's a change. Something happened on the inside. It's not about selfishness. It's not about making as much money as I can. It's not about my life. He said, listen, I got to make things right. I'm here to love some other people. I want to make things right. You know what love is? Love is living for someone else's good. I just want to help some people. This is the change. God has been so good to me, I have to share it. Do you know what a revelation of grace is? You know how you can tell if you have a revelation of grace? You want to share that with someone else. Come on into this. Come on into this life of grace. It's so good. You don't have to earn it. It's so good. Come on, let me share this with you. Come to my church. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He forgives all of my sins. He changes me from the inside out. That's grace. That's how you know. And that's what happens to kids. He said, listen, it's not about me anymore. Remember how we were talking about happiness? How we look? You know, what we've achieved, our approval, our popularity, our influence, how much we own. Listen, those external things are going to come and go. And we're never going to find the blessed life in that. You know what the blessed life is? It's found in that relationship with God through Jesus. It's found in loving him. It's found in serving others, living for other people's good. You're going to find, Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And that's just saying, I surrender. It's not about me. It's about living for you and serving others. I'm telling you, you'll be more blessed. You'll be more happy. You know what that is? That's the gospel, man. That's the power of grace. That's the love of God.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.